Well, I see the boxer in a much colder part of the world right now, preparing for the weekend again. It seems like the Springbok coach, Rassie Erasmus, has praised his team for the gutsy, that last gasp come from behind 29-26 victory over France in Paris. Now, if you watch that game, we'll want your thoughts as well. Send us those voice notes, 060-584-2250. And also the coach, he was literally saying that they learnt crucial lessons, though, from their one-point defeat against England. Before we get into the thick of things, though, I mean, he was literally the hero on the day, wasn't he? Wong Imbonambi, saying straight after the dramatic win. Let's listen to him quickly.
Matt, we pulled it through the last minute.
Thank you very much. I was going to give all the honor and glory to my Lord in heaven. And I mean, credit to the whole team. It was a massive team effort. Team effort, we didn't give up, and at the end, it all paid off. Cheers.
Stressful, but a much better feeling than last week when we lost it in the last minute, and this week we won it in the last minute. So we always say we want to learn lessons and you know, implement it the next game. And credit to the team for, like last week, we took it for 15 phases to try and get a penalty to win the game. This week we had to score a try, so you know, and Nigel had the guts to give the penalties, you know. So obviously we learned a lot from last week, and it's nice to get the reward for that. But then again, it wasn't definitely not the most clinical performance, but gutsy enough, you know, so it feels much better. Coming back from a lead like that, we've done it a few times this year when we've been behind quite early in the match, but this scoreline just happened just before halftime and after halftime, so that sometimes makes it tough to catch up, especially when the rain started coming down and you now have to score some points. So there was a few big moments, and I thought the guys handled it well. So again, not a perfect performance, but yeah, you know, I thought we learned from last week and handling the pressure and the big moments better.
All right, let me go across to my esteemed panel, former coach of the Box, Peter de Villiers. Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Murawa. How are you?
Doctor, since when, Prof?
You know what, if you listen to what you come up with, I don't think there's anybody educated more than you.
In what way? What did I say now, Prof?
No. I mean, I drew so much energy from your last two shows that I were here. Your esteemed guests that you had here, Mr. Brian Williams. And then last week when you actually gave me the greatest news ever. I don't follow the newspapers.
Sure.
When you told me that the Honorable Mr. Thando Manana is now the president of one of our biggest rugby clubs in the country. So I think you can only change from inside, and with you there to provide the platform, doctor.
Oh, what an honor, though. Hey, I'll accept it one day, Peter, when I'm no longer on this earth, posthumously, I suppose. but for now, I'm just
luckily
honored.
You're not working for rugby, so nobody can fire you.
No, don't worry. We've been down that road before. It's it's a feeling that is liberating, and it's a wonderful feeling. Trust me, if your head is clear, Peter de Villiers, any noise that happens around you, you just walk straight past it because it's not worth your time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, no, I call it differently. I say if you never walked into the devil, there might be a great chance that you and him are walking in the same direction. So.
And that's problematic, isn't it?
Yeah,
you watched over the weekend, and that's what I was. Oh, I don't know. I'd given up. I looked at the refereeing, and I thought to myself, "Okay, yeah, somebody who's doing his job is consistent in terms of what he does, and he notes that the time or the clock is still running, that they haven't stopped the clock, etc., and that he will add on the time." And I thought of the time when we talked about the bench, whether it was wisely used under Coach Rassie Erasmus or not, whether the regular bench warmers have been given enough game time or not, you know, and it all just played itself out in one match. What is your summation of it?
Well, the one thing that they did right, and that is the one thing you live for in international sport, if you can win a game, you just have to win it because there's no second chances in this game. All the other influence that you can't control, like the weather, the referee, the bounce of the ball, all those kind of things that you can't control. If you take the chances and do what you can do, then you might just create your own luck.
Was it more than just luck, or were there areas of concern, Coach?
Yeah, there's a lot of areas of concern, but for Test rugby, you want to win your games. You want to make the country proud. You go there. Any day in my life, I'll take a ugly win, then a pretty loss, you know. So for this game, it's done and dusted. We forget of about all the other stuff. The only thing now is, can they leverage on the lessons that they learned, as he said. And there's big lessons going to Scotland. One of your biggest lessons in Scotland is not the game itself, is the preparation on that heavy muddy fields and the cold and all those kind of things. If you don't control those situations and handle the players wealth for the week well, you might just lose the game yourself by overtraining them.
Sure. Overtraining them, Mr. Thando Manana, Mr. President, welcome.
Welcome, Rob, and Dr. Rob, as well as my esteemed coach, Peter de Villiers. I so hope that I could have afforded Peter de Villiers. He could have been in P in the coming week.
Hey, brother, you don't have money, man. You're only a new elected man.
He hasn't even been paid yet, hey, Prof. No payment yet has gone in from the union for this man. Are you good, Mr. Manana?
I'm very good, Rob. Thanks for once again having me on the show. And good to hear Peter as well. I hope the daughter is doing very well.
No, without a doubt. I will say that we are indebted to both of you. Your knowledge of the game, your openness, your insight. And also you cut to the chase. You know, we're not beating about the bush here. The result is the result from the weekend, Mr. Manana. I want your little summary of that.
Rob, I think first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that we got out of jail. But I was extremely very happy for the try scorer, which you had on the Dalet, and that's Bongi Mbonambi. I think after he had come back from Australasia, you know, he went himself to the Western Province management and he said that he'd want to take a week off, if you remember the incident of him being taken off in the 34th minute. And, you know, he said he just wanted his mind off rugby for a week when he was given an option to play that week leading to the semi-final. And I think for me, you know, the emotion just showed, you know, that, you know, he's not there because of his color. He's there to add value. That's what you want with players. You know, we have a similar situation where, you know, with Ambrose Papier about to start his own game, you know, it's going to be a similar psychological, emotional for a player to once again go there and just, you know, do what God gave him. And that's a God-given talent. And I think Bongi Mbonambi, Robert Maro, I won't lie to you. Those four lineouts were the most crucial for any South Africa. Had we had a 10-over, it would have made news for the bad reasons. You know, we're not even acknowledging, you know, that he did his primary duty. And guess what? He was awarded with an opportunity to go over the chalk line. Typical hooker positional play throughout. Found his jumpers at line-out time, but also consolidated the maul and finish off a great move in the corner. So for me, Rob, that is how I would sum it up. But this is another thing. The France were their worst enemy. I go back once again, Rob, to the 35th minute. Mm-hmm. You've got to also give credit where it's due. You know, when the French had a try line begging with only Willy Leroux as the last line of defense. Mm-hmm. And what did he do to Thomas? He made a great tackle. That saved us. Let alone they scored, you know, a couple of minutes thereafter. But I think in terms of us going to the break 69 behind, it could have been even far worse. You know, and thankfully that the French, that's how they are. They finish very poorly. They've done so in the Six Nations this year, where 3 out of 5 games they've lost, you know, with less than 6 points because of the way that or the style of play that they do well. They started off well, but once again they finished poorly and South Africa capitalized.
I mean, given those lessons now, gentlemen, you quickly got to move on and try and put things together and start to ask the questions about who should be rested, who should not be rested. You know, I've been looking at a couple of the news feeds as well. News 24, I think, has gone literally full out to suggest that Siya Kolisi be the one to be arrested, for example. I know that there'll be a new scrum half who'll be out there against the Scotland. Peter, maybe from your side, who deserves that rest? I mean, it's a big squad. I think 34 players it is.
Yeah, you know, two weeks of a long season. You just have to inspire everybody to give their best in these last 2 weeks. How do you know when anybody's tired? I don't think physically the players is tired because they prepare for these kind of long seasons. But emotionally, I think they really drained. And for them now, to take them on a tour like this and then they tell them you need to rest. Why didn't you leave them back home so they can rest fully? And after those 2 weeks, go negotiate with all the rugby unions and get them 7 weeks to have a full recovery period. So I don't think that we should be fooled by who you should rest and who you shouldn't rest. I think the one thing is the coach mustn't go fall into a trap to weaken the side because you think that Scotland is not good enough.
I mean, obviously that makes a great deal of sense, Manana, from your side as well. The pressure is there, and there are a couple of players as well. I look at Ambrose Papier and I'm thinking, what does he need to do?
You know, Rob, I want to ask a simple question. Did Henry Pollard play any Super Rugby or Curry Cup before his senior BOC debut? What's the answer? It's a simple no.
Yeah.
Ambrose should get his rightful start, Robert Marau. Because why is he then on the bench if he's not our second best? Why don't you then leave him behind and then take someone who you feel is the second best scrum half?
Yep.
For me, that's so important. Why bench international, in fact, international test teams need two world-class number nine. Who's our second behind Faf de Klerk? Is it Ross Cronier? He's not there. Is it Ifan Fonseil? He's there. Why is he not on the bench then if he's our second? Because you've got to understand we're going to a Rugby World Cup. Who's our number two? When you rest Faf in a World Cup, who do you play, Robert Marau? Those are critical questions because number nine, as Peter said just a week ago, that's a spine. One of five position that are spine and crucial to any team going forward. And that's a number nine. So for me, give the poor bloke an opportunity. We can't afford to have another Rudy Page. And we can't be shown that black players are there just to be there for window dressing. Because if he doesn't play, which he will play, and I've put it out there that he will get his opportunity. He's not a window dresser. This is a guy that should play and start at number nine. That's why I've asked the first question. Did Henry Pollard, from his matric dance, go and play Super Rugby or Curry Cup? No, he went into Springbok debut from being the SA Under 20 captain in New Zealand.
And you put a little star over Siya.
He's the captain.
So does he get rested? Do you buy into? I know we touched on it a little bit last week, but I mean, it's a different week and a different tempo, different expectation.
Siya is exhausted. Who's not exhausted, Robert Marau? It's the end of the year tour. That's why it's got a big headliner. It's the end of the year tour. Peter Steph Du Toit, he even played against, he even captained South Africa in Washington. Siya was not there. He was in South Africa going around Soweto, preparing for a first test match against an England side. He's been playing most of the games. That's Peter Steph. Why is he not exhausted? Why must Siya be exhausted? Why are the journalists selling us oil? Robert Marau, why are they oil salesperson? The guy must play his heart out. And I therefore sense that, you know, they would want to see a Frans Lowe. Yes, he did well. For the very first time this year, that last 10 minutes, he changed things for South Africa. Give credit once again where it's due. But this is a captain. He is the captain of the tour. Why should he now all of a sudden go and rest? Why is it so easy for players like Siya to be all of a sudden, in the history of Springbok rugby, Robert, it has to be said, it has never happened before. Francois Pina
has gone on tour as a captain. He's never been rested on tour, despite him playing Super 10, despite him playing Curry Cup for the Lions and winning the Lions, and yet he goes on tour with the Springbok, having played Tri-Nation at the time. When did he rest?
Now, again, I'm going to get the comments from Peter, especially around Ambrose, because I really want to get his insight. One of our regular contributors on the Room Dividers, the digital sports editor, independent media, Ashfaq Mohammed, has also just tweeted now. He says, since when are Springbok captains rested for important test matches? Siya Kolisi should not be rested. He took a break after the Rugby Championship and will get another breather after the Wales test. You've been there. You've coached Peter de Villiers. Springbok captaincy and this resting that is now being thrown at Siya Kolisi.
You know, Robert, there's a lot of ways that you can do things and make people believe that it's true. Our biggest enemies at this in life is our senses. And what you see, you believe. What you feel, you believe. And it's not always true. But what is really true is if you keep somebody off the field, then the public tend to forget that person very, very quick. So what happened on Saturday, the opposition will be different. The intensity will be different. Now, somebody else plays in that position. They doesn't have the same hard game and defensive structure against them. Now, that guy looks brilliant with ball in hand. Mm-hmm. And suddenly we say, can you see? He shouldn't be there. So we're not educated in this country enough to do things like that. We are very, very shallow. We like to play political mind games, and then we take people for a ride. I mean, if you to look at a guy like Ricky January, The same thing happened to him then back in the day when he was also arrested at Western Province and arrested until he gave up. And the next thing is, if things go well on Saturday, then the respect that should be there for the captain will be watered down, and then he can become a lonely person fighting a different fight that he can't win, because then it's become a psychological fight, and the support that he doesn't get from his players and his teammates then will actually cause the coach or anybody to say, wow, I think at the moment the cohesion in the team is not that great and we just have to make some differences. So I think make it simple, make it easy, talk to him, tell him this is the last two games, and I'm telling you now, if you can't deliver in these last two games, don't expect to play next year. And go with the man. That's what I would have done.
Because isn't that part of the narrative again, Peter, to say if you go with the resting part, and then it does throw that little shadow of doubt amongst his teammates, where everybody has been saying, including, you know, select media as well, that have been saying that it's the other players that are contributing to the leadership role that he brings into the Springboks, and that he just plays this minimal role. He'll do the media bits, the post-match, the pre-match, etc. But the actual real captaincy is not in his hands. Then it plays into that narrative. Then it plays into the narrative that he shouldn't be captaining going into a World Cup.
It's already there, Robert. It's already there. You could see last week, in that England game, at times, while we see it from a distance, we're not there. But I think our people skills is very, very good. And you can pick it up that whenever there's a decision being made, he's the last person to say yes or no. There's a group around him and they make the decisions. You can see it. And he just have to fall into that. Well, that's what I can see from a distance. I might be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because we don't need this kind of fight anymore.
Sure.
But you are definitely right. 3 weeks against the All Blacks, there was a question being asked, why didn't you play what's his name, the number 8 of Western Province in the last test? And the question was be answered, we are going now for experience. And then in that same test, you dropped the most experienced prop in Beast. For a youngster, so his experience in certain positions, or I don't know. We what I learned, you as a coach, I have the right to ruin a player's not the right, but the privilege to ruin a player's career. I learned it from some coaches which I worked with. They will keep the players on the bench, and at the crucial game they will put him on the field. And now, because of a lack of game time, he won't be so as sharp as he has to be, and then he will say, "Can you see? That is the reason why I don't play the man." Mm-hmm. So the same thing can happen here. I think we would stick with our captain if we trust him. If we don't trust him, be honest with the people, be honest with the players, and come out straight and said, "Listen, I only used you to get the belief of the people that I'm not that bad. But now I think your role has been done. We're going for what I wanted to go for from the beginning."
Is there a case of what, honeymoon over here, Mr. Manana?
Rob, there's no honeymoon. The nice thing about you know this game that we love so much is one. The first test he took over. I think he nearly just wanted to go underground when, you know, you look at back at the lead that England had in that first test and the comeback. I think that comeback spurred him on that he can certainly lead. Mm. But you know, there's a confusion for me within South Africa, and is you talk of leadership. It's fine to have leadership group, but a captain, Robert Marawi, is a captain. Mm. He's the one entrusted to lead the side. And if you keep on taking him on the 65th minute, on the 64th, on the 70th minute, in fact, his teammates won't have a high regard for a captain. Especially when you have a media that is so entrenched in making sure that a Frans Low gets into the side in place of Siya Kolisi with Peter Steph and Dwayne Vermeulen. Yet, Robert Marawa, Frans Low Bath does not want to renew his contract. And yet the same media is fighting that the Frans Low takes over. And this is a guy that Bath doesn't want to give a renewal. Robert Marawa, if you ask me personally, before the 10 minutes, how was he throughout? He did not deserve to be in the Springbok starting eight. What happened to Siya Kolisi with his great form in the Rugby Championship from the inbound, building it up and knowing that he's got a responsibility as the captain, but also for his game? Now, all of a sudden, the talk is he must concentrate on his game. So if he concentrate on his game, he leaves the captaincy. What then? It means that you are now saying that Siya must vacate. Who then steps in? You bring in Dwayne Vermeulen, who chooses when to play for South Africa. What about a guy who's given you his 100%? His 100 is all for the country and for the people behind. Look at how he talks, Robert Marawa, how he interacts.
Sure.
You want to bring someone who's failed, who's gone to France, didn't make it in France, he's in Japan. Now all of a sudden there's talk that he should be the captain, he should lead, he commands respect. What about the guy that's been in the dead, in the dungeon, Robert Marawa? And yet you bring in all of a sudden someone who you say he's got that respect for. What about this one? He's the future. 2023, Siya Kolisi will be there. Will Dwayne Vermeulen be there?
No. Peter Tavillas, I know you wanted to chime in on that one, yeah?
Can I just say tongue in the cheek to you? So you, at this moment, people are saying he must concentrate on playing flank. He can't play captain.
Oh.
There's no... There, sure. I just can't believe that you trust somebody and then when he didn't do anything wrong, you don't trust them anymore. So do you trust yourself?
Yeah. But it says a lot, because I'm trying to think of all the great captains, whether it was former Springbok captains or, you know, captains within Australia, England, New Zealand. Mm. You know, captain is a captain. Regardless of the opposition, you were groomed to be the leader. We want to see you walk out and lead the pack, come what may, because that is literally your role. And ahead of a World Cup year again, where you want to grow the confidence, you want to hear the captain. Even us, as ordinary supporters of the box, who are not part and parcel of the squad itself, you want to get those impressions from him.
Rob, I don't just want to jump in, but I have to jump in on this captain's issue. Hmm. The South African history, for me, I find it very perplexing, in a sense that we will always be confused to follow the narrative of the white Springbok. This is no longer a white Springbok. This is a Springbok for a post-isolation Robert Marawa going forward. We're not looking back, because then the Springbok captain was seen as someone even more bigger than the South African president at the time. The talks on Mondays was about the Springbok, more about the politics. That's how important Robert Marawa, a Springbok captain, is. Now, because Siya is the captain, you want to diminish it. Look at John Smith. Look at the accolades that the guy, Laureus, he's everywhere. And I'm happy for his achievement because of a Jake White who took a stern decision that he will make him the captain. As young as he was, Robert Marawa, he made him captain. He won the World Cup. What followed there next was Peter de Villiers.
The same coaches with us, Robert Marawa, had so much confidence. And he said it. He had confidence that he should continue up with leading this team.
Mm.
And that's what you want. It's continuation. The thought process I was not privy to of why he then continued Peter de Villiers with him. But it tells you the importance of when you have a captain through thick and thin, this should be the guy that you say to him he plays. Now, all of a sudden, we are sort of saying that he's had an off day. Fine enough, he's had an off day. What about the Warren Whiteleys? What about the Peter Steph Du Toit when he started playing from lock to flank when he didn't make it, Robert Marawa?
And all of a sudden,
that's what I'm saying. Yep. Now, all of a sudden, you shove everything under the cupboard and you talk about recent. What about the guy? For me, you can say that he's exhausted, Robert Marawa, but he's putting all his energy in the side.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rest a captain on tour. That's very important. In fact, you will kill him when he comes back, Robert Marawa. If you drop him, you will kill him automatically. You'll kill him. Instead of you saying rather having a co-captain. Because it's quite evident that if you look at England, for example, with Owen Farrell and Hartley, that Hartley is on his way out. It is there. It's quite evident that he's on his way out. So we should see the same thing should happen. We should not be playing manga business here. We should know. Because that is why we always say that why when captaincy was announced, it's always per event. It's always per rugby championship. It's end of the year tour. It's this and this. You know why? Because Sia is still on trial. And I'm saying that this, what is happening is causing this mostly an infuriates this fire, Robert Marawa. That for me, it will hurt a guy like Siya Kolisi, who's given his all, who had thought of going overseas, stayed behind, and all of a sudden preference should be given to other people. You know, based on what? Based on white media, because that's what they're insinuating because of the Springbok. They have to understand one thing. The Springbok is meant for each and every child, black, white, colored, pink in this country. Any player can be captain, black or white or colored or Indian. It doesn't matter who. And that they should understand. If the white media wants to continue just giving us all these nonsense news writing ups and telling us this bad media, then it's bad, Robin Mara. We should stand behind the captain. We should show him.
And whoever the captain is, and I repeat that,
doesn't
whoever
matter
the
who.
Captain is. Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me, 100%,
Robin Mara. 100%. Mataba in Poch, good evening.
Hi, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Welcome to the Room Dividers.
No, I'm good, man. I think South African rugby need to make a decision if they want Sia to become the captain or not. Because it's unfair. Now they want to drop him. Now he wants to play. And he has to prove himself as a player, as a captain. They need to make a decision. Do they want him to become the captain, irrespective of color? Because he's a captain based on merit, not because of the color of his skin. But they need to make a decision. Do they want him to become a captain or not?
Fair point. I think... Thanks so much, Mataba, for coming through. Nkululeko is in Eastern Cape. Good evening. Nkululeko. All right. Not sure if Nkululeko wants to chat to us. We'll try and sort about in a second. I want to come back after the break and deal with an issue again that our regular contributor has raised, Ashfaq Mohammed. And I suppose, Peter de Villiers, you'll be quite key in answering this as well. I'll get Tando's comment. You're saying that there were three black players in the Springbok starting lineup against France, which is one more than Jake White's Bok team that started 2007 World Cup final. Where is the transformation? It is exactly 14 minutes to the hour. It is hashtag MSW 089-110-2000. That's the number to dial, 060-584-2250. That's the WhatsApp voice notes, 97.2 to 100. My guests tonight on the Room Dividers, Tando Banana. He's the Madiba's Rugby Club president, the former Springbok, Junior Springbok, Bulls and Griekwas flying forward, and also an SABC Sport Rugby analyst. And we've got the honor and the privilege of having the former coach as well of the Springboks, Mr. Peter de Villiers, as well, joining us from our Cape Town studios. Let me take firstly Nkululeko from the Eastern Cape. We couldn't hear him the first time out. Welcome back, Nkululeko. Welcome, Bob. Nkululeko.
The airport.
Go ahead, Bob.
Shabuena.
Hey, man, and why would I tell my cousins, Baba Zofona?
Apology, Ralph.
Banana, manana, please, man.
Hey, man, no, misbehave, coach. Man. Please.
This is a high profile, sir.
Hey. Yeah, sure. Sorry for that.
Cross line, Baba.
Kusha moment, crossing line.
Yeah, no. Put the wrong kicks there. the okay, let me try Sbusiso. Maybe Sbusiso wants to chat to us on Radio 2000 from Limpopo. Good evening, Sbu.
How's it?
I'm good, thanks, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Am I clear enough?
Loud and clear. I can actually hear you thinking.
Rob, thanks for the opportunity. Quite a quick call, the response I got. However, I asked Tando a question about a year ago. He was doing a Sunday evening show on Radio 2000. I'm a rugby player who played for the Sharks Academy at Berkshire. However, we never made it through to playing for the Sharks first team for all of that. And now we find ourselves, a million of us, if not more than that, playing for club rugby all over the country. I know of a guy who tried for the Sharks so badly that he got to a state of depression because he just couldn't make it through. My sincere issue here is this. One, you can never play for a professional team in South Africa if you do not play for certain, you do not study in certain schools. That is one. Mm-hmm. And somehow South African rugby has accepted that you need to go to Boys High, you need to go to Glen College, you need to go to this special school, specific schools, for you to be able to get a franchise contract, one. Number two, I would like for you, Robert, at some stage, find one of our ministers, especially sports ministers, who can assist us in getting clearly what and who has captured the South African rugby sporting. Because as it looks, we cannot find ourselves to have a black captain, excuse my language, to have a black captain in representing South Africa in the World Cup. When the transformation was being pushed by the government, at some stage when South Africa was playing France, if I recall well, in an inbound tour here in South Africa, at some stage I think there was about 11 black players that were called into the Springboks team. Mm. And right now we find ourselves with 2-3 players.
Yeah.
Playing default position, might I add, at that. We can't find ourselves having a black player playing lock. We can't find ourselves a black player playing scrum half, fly half. Until when? Who and what has captured South African rugby to a point that we can't do anything about it?
Nice one, Sbu. Thank you so much indeed. That's part of the question I was throwing to Peter de Villiers. But let me go to Cosmo Creek. Budlelwane, good evening.
Good evening, Rob. The issue of is really, really painful, Rob. Yeah. It reminds me of the quote that says, you know, you have to be twice as good as them to get half of what they have. CR has to play at 120% every week in order to be accepted. Whilst players like Francois Lowe and Tando are referred, they've been coasting around the whole year doing nothing in the team, but they still get picked. As he rightly says, Bart is not renewing his contract because of his performance. You have Scott Brits. I don't know what he's doing in the squad, but he's picked. and there's a tendency of leaving all the black players on the bench. When they clear out the bench with white players, and then Elton Janchis and Ambrose Pathier and Boye Bonambi will be the ones left on the bench, and it is so blatant the racism in the Springbok team. I don't even know what to say with regard to the transformation on the last one. They've completely forgotten about the transformation issue. In this tour, there's no black player. Like, the number of black players is the lowest at any time since, you know, the transformation agenda started. So, Rob, it's really painful, and
it's a concern.
Hope things change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we would touch on Skalk Brits as well. Looks like he's also in advanced talks with the Bulls. So there's a bit of a financial crisis down in the Cape. I don't know how far that is. But thank you so much. Peter de Villiers, let me attack you with that one. I think Ashfaq Mohamed also mentioned it about the numbers vis-a-vis what happened back in the World Cup with the then Jake White.
Yeah, I'm gonna take it a turn. I am very excited tonight. Last week when you said that Tando Manana is the new president of the university in PE.
Madibas.
And then tonight I heard that there's a gentleman called Mr. Zeldmare. He's the incumbent deputy president of Western Province. He availed himself for the new post here. You know, he's a man with integrity, understand finances. He's a highly successful professional person. and he worked himself up in the executive positions in big business. I called him and I asked him, listen, you tell me, do you think you can turn the ship that's really lost? And what excited me really is he said that four things he told me. His consultation with all sectors and role players. He will surround him with people who can challenge him and who has the same passion. And then he will listen to what people say and he will stay on course for what the agenda is. So I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to something that we can change from the inside with people like Mr. Manana and Mr. Zeld Maree in Western Province. They are those salt of the earth. They are the people who will die for the cause. And they understand that if you want to have the top to function properly, there must be mass participation. And by doing that, you understand when our rugby became professional, we thought that is the next step of leaving most of the people behind because there won't be enough money. If you look at the Blue Bulls, the amateur side has bailed out the professional side. If you look at Western Province under Zeld's guidance, he's the financial director of the Western Province Union. Under his guidance, the amateur side has bailed out the professional side. So these people will look and see that the game is going to come back to where it should be. If you can't be held responsible for what decisions you make, if you can't take up your role that you are there to work for your country, you are there to make it work for everybody in this country, and if you don't have somebody who's coming down on you like I think unhealthy position we have with Rassie at the moment, he is the director, he's the coach, he makes a decision, he came back with a lot of demands. If we don't do this, I won't come back. So he's got a free hand. He can do whatever he want to do. And these things will happen because who's going to keep him, hold him responsible? And then if you listen to what Mr. Manana said there, he said that the media is also in his favor. So whatever the people hear is what they will believe. And I always said in my tenure that the media is only an opinion of somebody who want to live his life through somebody else's successes. So they will come down on you. And I think we've got a long way going down. If we want to control these things, we must get our grassroots level. We must get it to the right. And I am very, very excited with what is happening in Western Province. And I think in a few years' time, we will have somebody in the Eastern Cape of Mr. Manana's stature that will fight the thing from inside too.
I love that because that is forward thinking again. And you're absolutely right. A huge section of the selected media were responsible as well for your departure, Mr. de Villiers. There was a lot of focus around your press conferences and what was said. There was nothing that really defined your coaching, that defined the results you were getting, and especially against countries like New Zealand. Mr. Manana, maybe you want to respond again on the very same topic where we've moved not much from the time that Jake White was there from a transformation perspective.
Rob, the notion for me is very simple. We as black people in this country and South Africans, we fail each other day in, day out. There is no way that I will see a black player ever compromising a Springbok or a South African rugby side. I don't see that. What I see black players who wants nothing but to perform at the highest level against other peers. Yes. It is no sin that we're black, Robert Marau. It is no sin that we and our forefathers have played the game over 100 years. And all of a sudden, Robert, we are subjected to just labels, quota, transformation players, or we have to keep the politicians happy. I'm not a politician, Robert Marau. I'm a sportsman. I'm a rugby player. That's what I do in the living, Robert Marau. My achievements were achievements that I had to work for. Not listening to people's perceptions. And the notion is one. We as black people, and I find this within just 2 weeks assuming office, Robert Mara, where I'm starting to look for qualified level 2 black coaches. I can't find them. Our people must go and look for proper assessors, proper trainers of the IRB and get this qualification because at the end, Robert Marau, we speak of the top 12 or top 20 schools in this country. Guess what? All the coaches are sent to those courses by the schools, empowering and making sure that they've got all the necessary tools. And yet our people who says, and rightfully so, that they strive to get to the provincial setup and play provincial rugby, but they couldn't make it. Remember,
You can be a coach. Remember, you can be a nutritionist. You can be a dietitian, Robert Mara. You can be a physiotherapist within the sporting setup. You can be a logistic manager, all of those things. But coaching, we need to get more black people involved, Robert Mara, qualified. We don't have these problems. Because if I were to say, Grey College, many people know Grey College as a school in Bloemfontein that's got this rich Afrikaner history behind it. Yes, Robert Marawa, just a year ago, this year they had one black player in the team. A year ago. This year they had two. Guess what they are doing? They are putting so much money that by next year they want to have 12 out of 23 black rugby players. What does it say? Is this school, predominantly an Afrikaner school, is changing the game, is changing the face, because it believes in a new set of values going forward. Whoever makes those decisions, kudos to them. What about the others? But also, and most importantly, what about our own people? We should stop the notion of being fed. Robert Marawa, we should look for these opportunities. They are there. And that is why, Robert Marawa, I always say, we as black society, black people, we undermine our own intelligence in this lifetime of ours. History will also judge us harshly. Not only politicians, because politicians are there to fill up the tummies. We as sports people, we love this game, we've played the game, and also we want to make sure we give back. Are politicians giving back? No, they're putting into the tummy.
Would Peter de Villiers ever be a sports minister?
Definitely, if I go to the Eastern Cape and work for Thunder Manana.
That's a serious question. I might revisit that, though, because we want practicalities. Somebody raised, I suppose, one of the things that we wanted to deal with here on the show, the issue of Zimbabwe and the direction that they're taking and the sports minister that they've chosen on that side of the world, which makes a great deal of sense. Quickly, though, Deon Davids, what's happening?
Rob, there's talk that on Monday the Bulls will be announcing. I'm hearing through the grapevine that Deon Davids, the Southern Kings coach, could be around your area on Friday around there. So I'm not sure if you'll be around Kapitoli.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of interviews or things happening that side. So we don't know who will be the candidate. As you know, that they're looking for a Super Rugby since the departure of John Mitchell. So, and I have to say, I think it is also through the struggles that are currently happening within the Southern Kings, within the Eastern Province, and all around the uncertainty, you know, which is their home ground. Is it NM? Is it the stadium? Yeah. Or is it the so there's so much that
too much happening
for me that I think, you know, I mean, for a guy who's been and who's faced all the struggle in 2016, I would like him to give it a shot if he does go and take that interview to become a Bulls coach. Obviously, it will open up another opportunity down in the Southern Kings. But I think also progress is very important.
Yeah.
It's a step up for him.
I think
he struggled too much, Rob, that at least it should be given an opportunity to just go to the interview and really do
15
something.
15 seconds, Peter de Villiers, to wrap it up for us.
That is brilliant news to have one of our guys to get there. The only thing is that one thing we should do, Thanda Mananda, we must use this program and we must use this platform so that we can really upskill all our coaches in this country, and I am available.
Oh, love that. Love the news of that. Peter, you know the respect I have for you, and I'll continue to have that, and I continue to appreciate your input here. It is valuable beyond words. Thando Manana, Mr. President, thank you as well. We'll get there, gentlemen. All I'm saying is we keep chipping away. We'll get the relevant authorities to come and account pretty soon because they have no choice. And I want to just thank you guys again. Peter de Villiers, Thando Manana, 100%.
Thank you to all the listeners.